Steve Trinity Resources, ISE 3, Listening 11. You are going to hear a talk about a psychological syndrome. You will hear the talk twice. The first time, just listen. Then, I'll ask you to tell me generally what the speaker is talking about. Are you ready? As a teacher, I've sometimes found myself in front of a class of teenagers asking myself why they are listening to me and even obeying me when they don't really want to. I'm just some guy. I don't actually have any power over them. This is an example of imposter syndrome, a common feeling that your success is undeserved and you are an imposter in your role. It affects people from all walks of life, but disproportionately high achievers, such as executives. One study estimated that 7 out of 10 people have felt it at some point. Imposter syndrome was originally identified by 2 psychologists who suggested women were prime candidates due to the pronounced gender inequalities of the 1970s, which left women doubting their success. The original publishers of the research have since admitted it affects everyone. There are many possible disputed factors behind the syndrome. It could be down to personality traits such as anxiety manifesting themselves. Some experts suggest it starts in childhood when demanding parents or siblings who leave others under a shadow plant the seeds of an inferiority complex. Institutional factors can also play a role. Ethnic minorities are more likely to feel like imposters for the simple reason that they look slightly different from everyone else, so may lack a sense of belonging. Since imposter syndrome is more a pattern of negative thoughts than a diagnosis, changing the way we think is the key to overcoming it. Psychologists recommend separating facts from feeling. When you have doubts about your ability to perform the role you are paid for, just remember that you were hired for a reason. You can do it. Tangible prompts for this can help, such as displaying your qualifications or saving a thank you card from when you did a good job. One thing we all do that is probably counterproductive in these circumstances is compare ourselves to others. There will always be annoyingly beautiful, rich, and young people doing better than us, but that doesn't mean we can't also do the job well. Another useful remedy, given the frequency of the syndrome, is to reach out to a friend. A problem shared is a problem halved, and they may help put everything in perspective for you. That's the key point, perspective. Some level of self-doubt is natural. The alternative would be unthinking arrogance, but we shouldn't let it hinder our personal or professional lives. Can you tell me in 1 or 2 sentences what the speaker was talking about? Now listen to the talk again. This time make some notes as you listen if you want to. Then I'll ask you to tell me how the speaker describes imposter syndrome and what recommendations he gives for coping with it. Are you ready? As a teacher, I've sometimes found myself in front of a class of teenagers asking myself why they are listening to me and even obeying me when they don't really want to. I'm just some guy. I don't actually have any power over them. This is an example of imposter syndrome, a common feeling that your success is undeserved and you are an imposter in your role. It affects people from all walks of life, but disproportionately high achievers, such as executives. One study estimated that 7 out of 10 people have felt it at some point. Imposter syndrome was originally identified by 2 psychologists who suggested women were prime candidates due to the pronounced gender inequalities of the 1970s. Which left women doubting their success. The original publishers of the research have since admitted it affects everyone. There are many possible disputed factors behind the syndrome. It could be down to personality traits such as anxiety manifesting themselves. Some experts suggest it starts in childhood when demanding parents or siblings who leave others under a shadow plant the seeds of an inferiority complex. Institutional factors can also play a role. Ethnic minorities are more likely to feel like imposters for the simple reason that they look slightly different from everyone else, so may lack a sense of belonging. Since imposter syndrome is more a pattern of negative thoughts than a diagnosis, changing the way we think is the key to overcoming it. Psychologists recommend separating facts from feeling. When you have doubts about your ability to perform the role you are paid for, just remember that you were hired for a reason. You can do it. Tangible prompts for this can help, such as displaying your qualifications or saving a thank you card from when you did a good job. One thing we all do that is probably counterproductive in these circumstances is compare ourselves to others. There will always be annoyingly beautiful, rich, and young people doing better than us, but that doesn't mean we can't also do the job well. Another useful remedy, given the frequency of the syndrome, is to reach out to a friend. A problem shared is a problem halved, and they may help put everything in perspective for you. That's the key point, perspective. Some level of self-doubt is natural. The alternative would be unthinking arrogance, but we shouldn't let it hinder our personal or professional lives. Now tell me how the speaker describes imposter syndrome and what recommendations he gives for coping with it. You have 1 minute to talk.